rabbi. My whole life I davened in the conservative shul. My parents and my community at home is expecting for me to go to shul. It would be really difficult for my family and for my community if I didn't go to the shul. So what should I do? Am I allowed to go? So this person who was sitting at the table, who I trust, and you can confirm it with Ravara, obviously, he should live and be well, he said the only thing that you're not allowed to do is to embarrass your father. The only thing you're not allowed to do is to embarrass your father, which means that you should daven by yourself, but you should absolutely go to shul, you should sit there, you should stand when they stand, sit when they sit, and you're obligated to do that. Then came back a year or two later, and he said, well, now I'm married, and I wear a talis, so what do I do about a talis? I'm coming in, trying to put on the talis. Rabbi said, you should daven before, you should absolutely go and put on the talis. So I actually feel that it is a height of irresponsibility ever, for any teacher to tell a student that they should deviate from the customs of their parents. Now, in our cases, in most cases, it's not an issue of a halachic issue, but it's more of a minhag issue. It's more of a custom issue. And I think that, assuming that the parents are erlich and observant, and assuming that the issue is not a halachic issue, it's a halachic issue, then there have to be ways how to negotiate this at home. There are Hilchot Shabbos issues that at home are not being done properly, and the child now learns the proper way, so there has to be a way how to do this properly. It has to be done with an incredible amount of sensitivity. But in many cases, it's not that. It's more of a lifestyle issue. It's more of a hashkafa issue. It's more of a minhag issue. So I think it's the height of irresponsibility for teachers ever, without exception, to tell children to deviate from the minhag of their parents. Parents have a mesora. Erlucha parents have erlucha mesoras from the bubbies and from the zadies. That's why we do what we do in our families. And for anybody to tell us to do otherwise is rank inappropriate. So if I really felt strongly about this, I would tell you. But this is how I feel, and I have no idea what Rabbi Adler was going to say. So if it's a halachic issue, obviously, we learn what the halacha is. We can't deviate from the halacha. We have to do the halacha. We have to do it appropriately. But I would say in most cases, it's not a strictly halachic issue. And in those cases, hands down, the parental custom trumps anything anybody else says. Okay, having addressed that, let's move on to what it is that I want to say. If we had time, I would love to ask you what you think about what it is that I just said. But maybe at the end, if we have time, we're now up to 21 and a half. So the issue that I want to work through with you very briefly, because we have such a short period of time, is inspiring our children, act and emotion in the service of God. And it's a large topic. It's a topic to which I've given a great deal of thought. It's, I would say, for me, the greatest personal challenge. Before we start talking about inspiring children, we have to inspire ourselves. And what does it mean for us to be involved with Jewish tradition in a meaningful, in a real way? Jewish tradition is not something to be just engaged in by rote. It's something that is to be internalized. It's something that we should feel and experience and mean and appreciate and understand and have very much as a part of our own spiritual lives. It's not something external to us, but it's something that's very much internal and needs to be internal for us. It's not going through the motions, but it's something that is at the core of our being. And I think once we can decode that, once we can understand and appreciate that, then we're in a much better position to be able to transmit that to others, starting with our own kids and our own grandkids. So it's an issue that I've been dealing with a lot myself, personally, because it's not an easy issue to overcome. There's a lot of cynicism, there's a lot of just not really taking Judaism seriously. There's a lot of feeling like we need to be part of a community, so we do certain things, but we don't really own it. And in order to own it, we need to work on it. So the first source is one of my most favorite texts ever, and that comes from a hesed that Rav Soloveitchik gave for his Machatanista. His Machatanista was, in this particular case, the mother of my lay teacher. I studied with Professor Isidore Tversky in graduate school, and his mother was the Tona Rebbetzin. Professor Tversky was married to Rav Soloveitchik's oldest daughter, to Atara Soloveitchik Tversky, and so that makes Professor Tversky's mother and Rabbi Soloveitchik Mechutanim, and that makes Rabbi Soloveitchik's relationship with Professor Tversky's mother as a Mechutan and a Machatanista. So Mechutanim is the plural, Mechutan is the male, and Machatanista is the female. So the Machatanista passed away, I think it was in 1976. I was living in Boston at the time. I was davening in the Talmud Shtibel with my teacher, with Professor Tversky. His father had already passed away a couple of years earlier. Professor Tversky became the Talmud Rebbe after his father, in addition to being a professor at Harvard. He was the Talmud Rebbe sort of on Shachris, Mincha, Meir, and Shabbos, and during the week he was a Litau professor of Hebrew literature at Harvard. And his mother was around, and his mother was always around. And the minyan was in her house. So she lived in the house, and there was a first in the basement, and then there was an addition that was put onto the house. So I could see her all the time. I came in 1973. She passed away in 76. So it was at the Shloshin, not at her Levaya, but it was at her Shloshin that the Rav in the Talmud Shtibel delivered this hesped, and it was published a year or two later in Tradition, in the magazine or the journal called Tradition, and that's why we have it here in front of us on the left-hand side. I admit that I'm not able to define precisely the Masoretic role of the Jewish mother. He's talking here about a Jewish mother. He's talking about Mrs. Tversky, the Tona Rebbetzin. That's the title, a tribute to the Rebbetzin of Tona. So he wants to reflect on the role of Jewish women. Reflecting on the role of Jewish women, he starts reflecting on the role of the Jewish mother. In order to reflect appropriately in Rabbi Soloveitchik's world on the role of anything, you reflect on it from the perspective of Mesorah. Everything has to fit into the traditional understanding. There's a Mesorah that gets passed on. So Masoretic means Mesorah. What does our tradition have to say about the role of a Jewish mother? And I'm not able to define it precisely. That's the second aspect of Rabbi Soloveitchik's world, is precise definitions. It's not just Nazari Geret and Yiplapel from the Beltarim, but it's, if you want to be magdi or something, you want to explain something, you have to be able to define it precisely. And he says, I have a problem because I'm not really able to do so. Permit me to draw upon my own experiences. What did Rabbi Soloveitchik know about a Jewish mother? It's very obvious because he had a Jewish mother. So he reflects on his relationship with his mother and what he saw in his mother, and uses that as a microcosm for the larger concept and the larger position of Jewish motherhood in general. Permit me to draw upon my own experiences. I used to have long conversations with my mother. In fact, it was a monologue rather than a dialogue. She talked, and I happened to overhear. What did she talk about? I must use halachic terminology to answer this question. It's also vintage Rabbi Soloveitchik. Everything is framed in the context of halacha or halachic terminology or halachic literature. So she taught me in Yonah Diyoma. And Yonah Diyoma means she used to talk about issues that were relevant to what was going on at the time. I used to watch her arranging the house in honor of a holiday. I used to see her recite the prayers. I used to watch her recite the Seder every Friday night. I still remember the nostalgic tune. I learned from her very much. Most of all, I learned. And this is this next sentence. Is a sentence that I want to use as the point of departure, and something that I think is worthwhile for you to consider beyond today, beyond this morning, and maybe even make a copy of this and laminate it and put it on your refrigerator. So I used to have things on my refrigerator, but we got a refrigerator that you can't
the whole fridge nebuch is a bracha levatola.
I understand the idea of keeping things cold, but the whole point of the fridge for me was, you know, like you walk in, it reminds you, you know, so I don't know. You figure out a way how to emblazon this somewhere on your home consciousness. Most of all, I learned from my mother. This is Rav Soloveitchik, a very fine man, very smart man, talking about the impact that his mother, Dafka, his mother had. Most of all, I learned that Judaism expresses itself not only in formal compliance with the law, but also in a living experience. So we understand what formal compliance with the law is. That's called, we'll call it a maisa mitzvah, we'll call it a pe'ula sa mitzvah. And so you gotta go like this, and you have to cover your eyes, and when do you make a bracha before you light candles? After you light candles, you have to make the bracha over Lasi Yasan, but you already lit the candles. So you have a whole ritual to make sure that you do it exactly right. How do you shake the lulav? How much matzah do you have to eat and chew, and how fast? And how much, how big does the kos have to be for Arba Kosos? And the kos for Kiddush? There are a lot of specific details when it comes to Kiyum HaMitzvos, and we appreciate that, and we understand that they're important. Many of them are Doraisa, some of them are Dorabana. Very, very important. But it's not just, says Rabbi Soloveitchik, that he learned from his mother, that it's not only the formal compliance with the law, the Maisa Mitzvah, the Pe'ula Mitzvah, but it's also a living experience. That Judaism is not just a collection of doing, a collection of chewing, of shaking, of swallowing, of reading, of saying, of articulating, but it's also an experience. It's something internal. She taught me that there is a flavor, a scent, and a warmth to mitzvahs. There's a varm type to mitzvahs. It's not just doing, but there's something very special and meaningful about it that resonates in my being, in the core of my being. So I think that if we want to even have a shot at trying to be able, in a meaningful way, to inspire our children to buy into this, what we call Judaism, and it's harder and harder today, I tell my kids all the time that they have a much harder job raising their children than my wife and I had raising our children, and I'm actually in awe. I am in awe of young parents today who are able, in today's crazy world, to raise eloquent children. It's just amazing to me. But if we want to have a shot at that, then I think the first thing for us to do is to recognize this sentence of Rabbi Soloveitchik. That without undermining for a second, we have no right to undermine the punctilious, practical act necessary for the proper fulfillment of mitzvahs for all 613 of them, without undermining that or overlooking that for a second. It's central. But it's not just that, it's also, so now what am I going to do with that? I remember Rabbi Soloveitchik saying, you know, I'm not a robot and I'm not a monkey. A monkey can also eat matzah. And a robot can also go like this in front of Shabbos candles. That's not what we are. We're human beings. And if we're human beings, that means that we need to take the totality of what we are, which means our intellect and our emotion, and to be able to bring that into the service of God, into our relationships with God. It's a relationship. When we talk about the Rabbanu Shalom, it's a relationship. When we daven, we express that relationship. We say, Baruch Atah Hashem Elokeinu Melech HaOlam. We say, Tzomech Hashem L'chol HaNoflim. We say, we say Rifa'elu, we say Shema Kolena. We're talking to something. We're talking to somebody. We're talking. We're having a connection. There's a relationship. And if there's a relationship, then I, in order to be true to that relationship, need to engage with the totality of my being in that relationship. When it's a man-woman relationship, when it's a husband-wife relationship, it's not just part of me that's engaged in that relationship. It's not just, you know, I walk in on the birthday and I say, here's a card. You know, like I was in the kind of mitzvah of giving the card. But like, where's the feeling? And I can't just say, on the birthday, I love you dearly, Imamish, you my whole life.
and then my wife is going to throw like, you know, like, she's going to like, you know, like, where, you know, where's the card, where's the epic, something. So you can't just have the emotion, and you can't just have the Misa, but you have to have both. And if it's a relationship, that's where it has to be with God. And unless we understand that, I would say it would be very difficult for us to have ourselves a full appreciation of what this is, and through that, to be able to thereby inspire or convey this kind of message to our children. So I want to give one teeny-weeny example of this that has, since I saw this source, has literally mamish changed my life. So I want to talk about Erev Shabbos. I don't want to talk about Shabbos. I want to talk about Erev Shabbos. So the Kedushas Levi, the Hail of the Ritchiker, in 10 minutes, the Kedushas Levi, the Parshas Kisisa, says something that we all know. And that is, underlined, V'hinei be'emes yesh la'adam l'tzachos kol yamei achol, al hamatonos Shabbos, al Kedushas v'chiyus zu haba'o li'ola. That a whole week we have to look forward to Shabbos, and the beauty that Shabbos brings. So we understand that in the Yom of Sunday, Hayom Yom Rishon v'Shabbos, Hayom Yom Sheni v'Shabbos. So we already start to think, and the Gemara tells us, and La'alach, if you come across something that's very special, you should put it aside for Shabbos. So we don't only start thinking about Shabbos on Shabbos, we start thinking about Shabbos before Shabbos, and before Shabbos begins right after the previous Shabbos. And we're always thinking about Shabbos, and we should prepare and think about it. U'bevadai, bo'i hachona rabba kol sheshes yemei ha-maisa al Shabbos, yifi asher ya'aseh hachona, so so we should think about it a whole week, and makes also a great deal of sense, to the extent to which we prepare for it, to that extent will it be meaningful to us. You just fall in on it, so it's there. But if you anticipate it, think about it, then when it arrives, then you bring all of that anticipation and thought, and then it becomes much more meaningful. So there's this concept of preparing for Shabbos. There's the concept of being engaged in the preparation for Shabbos. So I came across this amazing actor at the bottom of the page. Every once in a while, you come across something, and Sasanoche Elim Rasecha, Kimotse Shalom Rav, that just changes things. And maybe it was 2 or 3 years ago, I think, that I came across this actor. So the actor, very interesting, word, Rav Yoshua Heschel, Rabbi Abraham Joshua Heschel, is a great Chassidus Rebbe, and unusually, he's known as the Rav. So he's known as the Apta Rav. Normally we say the Gera Rebbe, the Sapner Rebbe, the Kleisenberger Rebbe. A Chassidish Rebbe is known as a Rebbe. But the Rebbe of Apt, the Rebbe from Yeshua Heschel, was known as the Apta Rav. And he wrote a sefer called Oev Yisrael. And the avoda of the Apta in Oev Yisrael is to show Avos Yisrael in every parsha. That's his goal. That's where he's going. Where do we find Avos Yisrael in this particular parsha? And there are a number of essays on each of the parshas. Not all of them have to do with that, but one of them for sure is going to have to do with that. So in Parshas Kisisa, he says the following. I'm going to start with the second of the recognized underlines. Ki vadai, on the left side is the little mark. Ki vadai bo'i hachono rabba kol vav yimei ha-maisa. Of Kedushas Shabbos, Sheyushba Milamayde. That for sure we have to prepare ourselves significantly all 6 days of the week for the arrival of Shabbos so that we should have it should affect us, it should be mashpia on us, it should influence us from above. Lukefiya chanos of the machshava, the dibur of the maisa, kamokay tihiya hasagosa. The extent to which we prepare, to that extent will we be able to access the preciousness and the specialness of Shabbos. Sha'adam tzarech l'troach es atzmo kol yimei hachol kidei sheyehelo ma b'Shabbos. Should work all week, so you should have for Shabbos not just to shop and to cook and to prepare, but it means also spiritually to think about the advent of Shabbos. And then he quotes the famous Gemara, Misha Tareach be'erev Shabbos yochel b'Shabbos. You can't walk in, you know, a minute before Shabbos and say, where's my challah? You know, you have to prepare it. So, if you work on it before Shabbos, then you will have something on Shabbos. Now let's go to the top. And these three lines had and continue to have a tremendous impact on me. The Emes Ra'i V'Nacham. Let me preface this by asking you a question. When I say somebody is a Shomer Shabbos, how do you define somebody who's a Shomer Shabbos? Oh, that person is a Shomer Shabbos. What does that mean? What am I saying about that person if I call that person a Shomer Shabbos? Yes. Somebody who keeps the mitzvahs of Shabbos. So how do you keep the mitzvahs of Shabbos? So there are many, many lamites isurim on Shabbos, right? So there's one mitzvah saseh. What's the one mitzvah saseh? On Shabbos to make kiddush. So I made kiddush, and I wasn't over any of the lamites malachas. I did Shabbos, and after Shabbos, God put me down. I did Shabbos. I even went to shul. Went to minyan. It was very nice. I tried to get there at a reasonable hour, to the extent to which I could. The wonderful Sa'uda, Bissalugishlachma, Bissalugishlachma. It was a great Shabbos, put me down, I was a Shomer Shabbos. Says the Apter, wrong. Wrong definition. And this is what was so shocking to me. Most often you come across something that changes a fundamental assumption that you had. 3 minutes? How could that be? Oh my God. So the Apter says as follows. The MS Roy Venachon, the Chal Ish Maskil Venachon, Lossam Elibo Litzapos, Uliyachel, Kol Yemehachol, Lihios Mishomrei Shabbos. Kemo, what follows? Four words. Ba'aviv Shamar Es Hadavar. What is Ba'aviv Shamar Es Hadavar? Where is that? Where is it? What'd you say? Yosef has dreams. Brothers are very unhappy. Yaakov sees this and says, something's going on. Va'aviv shel Yosef, i.e. Yaakov, shamar es hadavar. What does the word shamar mean in the pasuk? Va'aviv shamar es hadavar. Next page, turn over. Drop the Heliger Rashi. Shamar es hadavar. Hayamamtin. What does Mamtin mean? Wait, what does Mitzapeh mean?
Look forward.
What does Shamar mean? Yaakov was waiting, anticipating. When is this going to happen? Epis, something's going on here. The brothers are not happy, but Yaakov, understand, something's going on. How is this going to unfold? The Aviv Shamar, what does it mean? Shamar? Mamtin umetzata. What does it mean to be a Shomer Shabbos? Zakta Helega after. What does it mean to be a Shomer Shabbos? Mamtin umetzata. When am I a Shomer Shabbos? Before Shabbos. When Shabbos arrives, I'm not a Shomer Shabbos anymore. It's too late. Shabbos is here. It turns everything on its head. To be an emes of Shomer Shabbos means that today is Sunday and Monday and Tuesday and Wednesday. Oh my God, Shabbos is coming. In my bench, in our bench in Rimat, on Wednesday, we wish each other a freilachem l'chunaranana. Because how does the yom end on Wednesday? The yom of Wednesday ends l'chunaranana. Oh my God, l'chunaranana. That's a light bulb. Light bulb says l'chunaranana. I'm already saying l'chunaranana. It's Wednesday. Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday. Follow. Go back to the previous. I can make Abdullah until Tuesday night. And now, Wednesday begins. I know I have 30 seconds. Wednesday begins. Wednesday, Thursday, I'm counting down. I said, look who they're running. Why did they choose that yom? I have no idea why they chose that yom, but I would love to think that part of why they chose that yom is they want to end with look who they're running. They want to give me a red flag. Shabbos is coming. That's what a Shomer Shabbos is. Shomer Shabbos means mamtin from the top of the Shabbos. When Shabbos arrives, I can't be a Shomer Shabbos. And so therefore it seems to me that if we can realize the beauty of Shabbos and think about it and let it percolate and then ratchet it up on Wednesday, then it's something special. So what I do is every Friday since I read this, actually even Thursday, I teach at Stern College on Thursdays and I teach at Yeshiva College on Thursdays. I tell my students when I say goodbye to them on Thursday, I wish all of you a wonderful Erev Shabbos. We wish each other every Friday a wonderful Erev Shabbos. I don't say good Shabbos to anybody until Shabbos. I don't say Shabbat Shalom to anybody until it's Shabbos. 10 minutes before Shabbos, I wish you have a wonderful Erev Shabbos. And Rabbi Soloveitchik, in this quote that I don't have time to read, you read it, talks about Erev Shabbos Jew. It's not just enough to be a Shabbos Jew, it should be Erev Shabbos Jew. Before an Erev Shabbos Jew, then we can internalize the beauty, and once we really feel it, and oh my God, it's a bracha that Shabbos is coming, then we have a gift. And once we feel we have a gift, and the kids see in the house, we're used to displaying on Friday afternoon, and it's not like utter chaos and insanity up to the last second, which it always is, but we try to put it down to be, then it makes a difference. So I want to conclude by saying that I want to dedicate this year to the three boys who are missing, who I cannot get out of my head. I just cannot get them out of my head. I'm like obsessed with this and constantly trying to do what I can. I don't know what I can do, but try to do what I can to try to help the Mashiach and the Mashiach bring them home. So I want to dedicate this year to them, and I wish all of you on Sunday, I want to wish all of you a wonderful, wonderful Erev Shabbos. Thank you.